In the epistle today, St. Paul begins with the rather bold statement, "Be imitators of me." An amazing kind of thing to say. We might well tell people, well, imitate God, be like Jesus. But Paul actually says to his disciples, imitate me. Look at me. If you want to know how to be a Christian, if you want to know what it means to follow Jesus, well, look at me. Now, in fact, that was good advice, because Paul really is trying to help people to know and love Jesus, and we need examples. That's why in this month of November, especially, we remember the saints, as we began on All Saints Day, that we look at them and we really can say, with all their various walks of life and professions, there's someone there we can look at and say, if we want to know what it means to be a saint, to get to heaven, we'll look at this saint or that saint. So since Paul today asks us to be an imitator of him, I thought we might look a little bit at St. Paul and see how we might imitate him. In particular, there are three things that I'd focus on today. There are so many things about St. Paul we could focus on, but I'd like to look particularly at three things, and that is Paul as, first of all, a soldier, secondly, a sinner, and then finally, a saint. St. Paul the soldier. One of the things I love about St. Paul is that he shows us that if we're going to be Christians, well, we shouldn't expect it to be easy. In fact, we should expect that we are going to be engaged in a great battle to be a Christian. Now, we're pretty blessed in this country that, at least for most of our history, we've had religious freedom. It wasn't easy to be a Catholic in the early days of our country, and perhaps it's not going to be so easy in the future either. But as we look to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in Syria, and Iraq, no one is coming to our door demanding that we convert or be killed. So to some extent, it's a good time, temporally speaking. But that's not the kind of soldiering that St. Paul really has in mind. Now, no doubt, he fought a lot of spiritual battles. He says that he's been beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, kicked out of cities. He knows physical combat. But he tells us in his letter to the Ephesians, just a few chapters after what we read today, he says, "Put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground." I love the image of St. Paul with his soldierly language, because I think one of the enemy's tactics, our real enemy, the devil, in today's age, is to kind of let us be complacent. Maybe it is a little easier for us here in the United States to be Catholic, and so perhaps we think that we can just go with the flow. And certainly we see that the spirit of the age, the spirit of society, in many ways does in fact take over even the minds of Catholic believers. It's easier not to fight against the crowds. And yet, St. Paul gives us the beautiful example of someone who did fight against spiritual powers. He was not going to be conquered by the spirit of his age. So what can we learn from St. Paul the soldier? Well, first, I think to be successful in a battle, we've got to know, first of all, at least that we have an enemy. And two, well, what are his tactics? How do we conquer this enemy? Do we admit that the devil is real? Wonderfully, Pope Francis, the press is even starting to pick up on this now. It seems like Pope Francis talks about the devil a lot, as if he really exists. Well, he does, and that's why our Holy Father is calling that to our attention. It's why St. Paul reminds us that we have a real battle we're engaged in, and there's no way we could possibly win that battle if we don't at first admit that we're in a battle. We can't simply run out the clock on life and try to go through as if there's no fight to be fought, constantly surrendering every time we might find signs of the battle. The truth is, as we look at our Blessed Virgin Mary, our Savior, Jesus Christ, these are people who we say never sinned, but yet we're tempted in every way that we are. I have to find it interesting, well, how could they possibly understand what it's like to be us if if they don't have our same fallenness, and can they really be tempted the way we are? The truth is that temptation works a lot like a battle, or to push against a strong wind even, or a heavy weight. When we sin, it's as if we just give up and throw it off, or we're not even going to try to engage in pushing against the wind. Mary and Jesus, they constantly pushed against this force of evil, and they won. They never once wavered and said, no, I'm not going to fight. Every day, they were willing to fight. Are we willing to fight? It's easier to lie down in a strong wind and just not move, stay on the ground. But of course, that is not what God asks of us. He asks us, as St. Paul asks us, to put on the armor to engage in the battle. That armor for us is, of course, the weapons of prayer, the sacraments, the sound doctrine of Holy Mother Church. We take this armor and we go out and we engage in the battle. So if we're going to be imitators of St. Paul, first we have to be good soldiers. This last week we celebrated two of my favorite days in the year. On Monday was the birthday of the United States Marine Corps, and on Tuesday, of course, was Veterans Day. We all can look to our veterans and say we'd like to imitate them. We admire their courage, their heroism. We need that kind of inspiration for the spiritual life, too. There's much we can learn from good soldiering. My image of the Marine Corps, their most famous battle is, of course, Iwo Jima in World War II, where they fight for days and days to take this island from the Japanese. Lots of them die in the process, but in the end, there's that famous picture, which is now the Marine Corps Memorial here in Washington, of them planting the American flag on top of the mountain. It's difficult to fight. We might well die in the process, fighting the battle. But our goal has to be like the Marine Corps, to face life's temptations, not to be wimpy and say, no, we can't possibly do it, I'm just going to sit here, but to say, no, I'm going to take that beach, I'm going to fight my way up the mountain, and in the end, I'm going to win, and I'm going to plant my flag on top of that mountain. That's the kind of spirit we need in our spiritual fight as well. So to be a good soldier. Certainly St. Paul was that. But St. Paul also knew what it's like to lose. He was, secondly, a sinner. I mentioned that to sin is essentially to give up on the battle, to allow Satan to gain the ground in our life. St. Paul was like us. He was not free from sin. He, in his time, was guilty of course, what plagued him his whole life, assenting to the murder of St. Stephen, something he repeats over and over as a part of his own history. He can't quite get over the fact that he was guilty of murder. St. Paul was a sinner. In a lot of ways, I most relate to St. Paul, not so much when he's victorious and winning all these battles, but when he seems to struggle the same way we all do. One of his lines that gives me a lot of comfort is in his letter to the Romans, where he says famously, "I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, and I do the very thing I hate." Now that's something that I know I can relate to. We want to be good soldiers. We want to go out there and, God, I'm going to win today. I'm going to take that hill. And instead it's like, oh no, that's attractive. And as we hear in our gospel today, our St. Paul tells us, our belly gets in the way, our temptations, our desires. Well, that looks good. I'll go after that. And pretty soon we forget about the fight we're in. And then we hopefully examine our conscience and say, why did I do that? It doesn't even make sense. I didn't even want to do that. In fact, I decided I was going to fight against that sin, and yet I sinned anyway. How is this possible? I think it's good that we can see that St. Paul struggles with exactly the same thing. His other famous passage that often gives me comfort in my own weakness is where Paul writes about weakness to the Corinthians. He says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Weaknesses. That's something all of us can relate to. We want to be good soldiers, and yet we're constantly attacked, and it seems like we lose a lot. St. Paul is lamenting the fact that he keeps losing. Satan is beating him up, and he prays to God. What a good response. That's what we should do when it seems like we're losing, when Satan is closing in. Beseech our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Angels, protect us. Lord Jesus, please surround us, protect us. We don't want to sin. We don't want to do the thing we hate. And yet, we are weak. But the good news here is that St. Paul knows, as God knows, that we are weak. How many times, though, in the battles in the Bible, do we see Israel has these great, powerful numbers, and God says, no, that's too many. Send some of the soldiers away. No, still too many. Get rid of more soldiers. Over and over again, Israel either has too many soldiers and they have to get rid of them, or they have a teeny tiny little number of soldiers and they conquer a huge army. And over, the lesson of the Old Testament is, it's not through strength in numbers that we will conquer, it's through God. We will ultimately always be weak. As much as we want to go up the hill and plant our flag, there's a pretty good chance we're going to die on the beach before we even get out of our boat. But God says that's okay. He knows we're weak. So long as we give it all that we've got and keep getting back up as long as we can, we'll be okay. We needn't fear that we are weak and struggle and fall. It is our lot in this life to do so. But we've got to realize it's when we're weak that we are most dependent upon God, and we must get back up with his help. So to imitate St. Paul, we must also realize that he was a sinner just like us. But like him, we too need to keep getting up, fighting on, knowing that in our weakness, God is strong and will make us strong. Finally then, Paul the saint. Now that one might seem obvious. Of course, he is a saint. He's one of the great saints in the church. However, the word saint, of course, comes from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy. All of us are called to holiness. If we want to imitate St. Paul, we need to imitate his longing, his desire, his passion for righteousness, for holiness. Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." St. Paul was such a man who hungered and thirsted for righteousness. Do we have that same kind of desire for the holy things? Because if we want to know where the power and weakness comes from, that's where it comes from. Flowing from the grace of the sacraments. For when we are most weak, it's when Jesus reaches out in the sacrament of penance, the beautiful gift of the Eucharist this morning, to feed and strengthen us, to give us the holy things. As we make our way through the battles of this life, are we turning to the right things for strength? Do we truly have a desire for the holy things? That's, of course, the gift of piety, reverence, the countering vice being sloth, laziness, just an indifference about the holy things. One of my favorite passages in St. Paul, then, where he speaks about his longing for Jesus and the holy things, comes in the letter to the Philippians that we read today, but just the few verses prior to what we read. He says, "If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Now we might say, Paul, a persecutor of the church, you're bragging about this? Essentially, Paul is setting up his credentials here to say, if you want to see zeal, look at me. I've got zeal. I know what tribe I'm from. I'm a Pharisee, the best of the best of the Jews. No one is more righteous for the faith than me. And of course, Paul was very zealous, so much so that he did seek out and persecute the Christians. Now, we might look at that and say, boy, Paul, he really got that wrong. Well, not exactly. Of course, it wasn't good that he was persecuting the Christians as a fact, but why was he doing it? He was doing it because he was very, very zealous for God. He had learned from the time he was a little child, there is one God. He alone is God, and there are no other gods. And in his mind, here are these Christians claiming that this Jesus is God. And in his Jewish mind, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he says, this cannot be. These people are heretics. They're insulting the one true God. Well, he's not just going to sit around and, well, ho-hum, that's their opinion. They can believe their multiple gods if they want. He doesn't stand for that. In his zeal, he goes off and says, I've got to stamp this out for the honor of God. I'm a soldier in God's army, and by golly, I'm going to fight for the honor of God. There are not two gods, there are one. And of course, Jesus has to upset him a little bit on the road to Damascus and say, hey, Paul, it's me, Jesus. Let's have a little talk. And then, of course, he meets Jesus and realizes that he is God. And now he does a complete 180 and says, well, okay, then I'm in this army, and to fight for God means I need to fight for Jesus and go spread the gospel all over the world. God used that same zeal that caused Paul to go out and persecute the Christians to now reorient it and go out with just as much and even greater zeal to tell everyone the good news. Do we have that kind of zeal? Paul goes on there to say, despite all this zeal, all this perfection, all the gains that he made in his life, he says, but whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Some of those beautiful words ever written. If we want to imitate St. Paul, there's his heart. What motivates St. Paul? What drives him? I count everything else as worthless to know Jesus. Is the most important thing. I want to know Jesus. He has grasped me. I want to grasp him. And then he says beautifully, I want to know the power flowing from his resurrection. That's what motivates St. Paul. It's like the woman in the gospel today who reaches out and says, if I just touch him, power will heal me. And it does. Do we have that same desire? That desire that says nothing else matters more in this world than I reach out and I'm in touch with that power. I want to be with Jesus in heaven forever and nothing will get in the way of that. If we want to imitate St. Paul, that's his secret right there. That's what makes him be a good soldier. That's what causes him to get up even when he sins, because he knows there's a power greater than his own weakness, the power flowing from Jesus' resurrection. He wants to touch that. Do we, as we go about our life through this valley of tears, longing for the day of rest, do we have that power, that desire? I pray today that as we look to St. Paul, our brother in the faith, that we would imitate him, to imitate his courage to fight as a soldier, to get back up when, like him, we sin, we fall, and to know in the end we conquer. If we would just reach out and grasp the power to know Jesus, the power flowing from his resurrection.